Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including our award-winning documentary, Captivated, which recently was honored with another award. We were the 2013 Gold Crown Award winners for Best Documentary at the International Christian Visual Media Conference. And so we're very grateful to God for this honor. And once again, just more people becoming aware of this powerful resource for churches and families today. So make sure you have your copy if you haven't seen it yet. Be sure to send us your comments or questions to podcast@mediatalk101.org. Again, that's podcast@mediatalk101.org. And if you find this program helpful, then please consider letting others know about it and help us get the word out. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president. And I'm back in the studio today with my podcast co-host, Rhett Simpkins. Rhett, it's great to be here with you today once again to record another podcast.
Yeah, great to be back.
And last week we started out, the whole podcast was Q&A. I was fielding some of the questions that have been, that people have wrote in. And we didn't get very far on those questions. And so we thought it would be good to do another podcast and continue with this Q&A format. So what do you have for us this week?
Okay. Yeah. The first question is it okay for a 12-year-old to watch a movie rated PG-13?
Wow, that's a great question. And let me just say this. Movie ratings are not a great indicator for deciding what anyone at any age is going to watch. And so, you know, think about it. The movie ratings are not determined by some sort of scientific, you know, analysis. It comes from a group of people, generally liberal, generally non-Christian people, and they are viewing the movie and making a judgment call based on their worldview on what they think is appropriate. Now, over the years, there's something known as ratings creep, and that means that years ago, what was once considered a rated R movie might now only be considered a PG-13 movie, or even a PG movie, for that matter. And so when it comes to allowing our children, regardless of their age, to watch movies, I think the ratings shouldn't be the first place that we go to look at. Now, certainly if it's a rated R movie, that should be some indicator that that's probably not an appropriate movie to see. We could probably spend a lot of time talking about that. But since the question was in regard to PG-13 movies and a 12-year-old, this, once again, this is a liberal, godless ratings board that are determining these things, not a concerned, loving Christian parent who is guarding the hearts and minds of their children. So I don't trust the movie ratings. And let's go beyond PG-13. I don't think that every PG movie or even G-rated movie is appropriate for a 12-year-old. And the reason is because there are a lot of G-rated movies today that are godless. They are their worldview is opposed to biblical truth. The principles that are being promoted and disseminated through even what we would call family-friendly movies are often in opposition to Christ. And so in that sense, I wouldn't want a 12-year-old or a 5-year-old or, you know, even as a 40-year-old, I don't need to be watching that nonsense, you know, regardless of the rating that someone has placed on it. So once again, I don't think that that's a good indicator, you know, of what's appropriate. Now, I give a whole talk on this called Analyzing Movies from a Biblical Worldview, and I would encourage you to listen to that, and I'm going to make it really easy for you because we'll go ahead and post a link with a free coupon code to download that off of our website, and you can listen to my, it's kind of 10 points that I make when it comes to analyzing movies from a biblical worldview, and I believe that that would be very, very helpful. And so instead of taking a lot of time right now to go through those that list of 10 things that I give, we'll just let you, you know, download that to get some specific information on analyzing movies. So that I hope that that is helpful for the person who wrote that in. And what else do you have for us, Rhett?
Okay, yeah. Shouldn't Christians watch movies and TV shows and listen to music with questionable content in order to stay current or up to date with culture?
You know, this actually has come up a lot over the years, and one particular story that sticks out in my mind, I was speaking to a group of college students, I believe it was in the state of New Jersey several years ago, and afterward, a young lady came up to me and said, "Mr. Telfer, a lot of the things that you're sharing, I think, are right on and very convicting, and there's a lot for me to think about. But, you know, on the campus, if I'm not aware of what's going on culturally, you know, if I'm not keeping up with the latest movies and actors and music and websites, then I'm not going to have really anything to talk about with my peers, because that's all they talk about. That's the center of all their conversation, and so it's going to be very awkward. So what do you recommend?" And you know, my recommendation for her kind of went along these lines, and that is, you know, God has not called us to be the experts in the media of this world, which anybody else, you know, that's apart from Christ, you know, might make that their emphasis on being in the know and being able to talk about those things. God didn't place us here just to keep up with the neighbors. You know, we're here as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're here to represent the kingdom of God. And we're to bring to the table that which nobody else can, you know, that's apart from Christ. So as all of those other college students are spending their time consuming garbage media, talking about garbage media, and making that the center of their interaction, you can have something more important to say, eternal things to say. And that, I know that can be a little bit awkward. A follow-up question to that is like, well, you know, they're going to think I'm, you know, self-righteous or whatever. And I always tell people, no, use it as an opportunity to talk about your relationship, your growing relationship with Christ. And, you know, if they find out and they think you're weird because you didn't watch the latest episode of American Idol, or you're not up with the latest, you can say, well, you know, I'm putting my time and energy into eternal matters. I mean, I'm concerned about my soul, you know, and I'm pursuing the creator of the universe, and these are important things to me. So certainly I don't think that we have to consume these things in order to be effective at interacting or reaching the generation that God has called us to reach. Now, I have for many, many years, in fact, for the last, since I was 17, I've been kind of out of the loop. I haven't consumed the popular media. I don't watch television. I don't watch a lot of movies. I don't listen to the world's music. You know, I'm not consuming these things in order to, so that I could be the expert in speaking about them. What I've put my emphasis on is getting to know the Lord, you know, spending my time drawing near to Him. Now, certainly, there's a place for us to be aware of where culture is at and where it's going, but we can do that without watching the movies. We can do that without listening to the music. We can do that without going to all their websites. And there are many ways that you can do that. Some of the ways in the past that I've done that is, for a while, I'm not currently doing this, but for a while I'd subscribe to a youth marketing newsletter, e-newsletter. And so it was either weekly or might have even been daily, where these were what they would call cool hunters that are watching trends in youth culture and feeding that information to marketers that are marketing to youth. And that was very, very eye-opening, because I got some very targeted information that allowed me to kind of be in the know of kind of where things are going without having to watch the movies or accost my own heart and mind with a bunch of toxic media. Another thing that I do is I'm a big fan of Google News. Now, certainly there are other ways that you can go about this, but this is what I use, so I'll at least explain why I do this. I like Google News because it just aggregates a news in categories based on the number of hits. So it has world news, it has national news, it has things like what's going on in science, what's happening in entertainment, what's happening in sports, and by the way, that's the one section I ignore probably the most because I'm just not really interested in sports. So it has all these categories, and it just lists the titles of the articles and a little synopsis and maybe a picture. And what I find helpful for that is I can skim the entertainment section and see like the top three things going on in entertainment for the day. And, you know, so one day it's Justin Bieber loses his monkey, you know, so great, I'm in the know. I knew that Justin Bieber lost his monkey, you know, and delayed a private flight for hours. I don't really know how that information is going to help me be a better witness or better relate to this culture. I don't think it actually does. But if for someone who feels like they've got to have something to be in the know, I didn't invest more than 10 seconds to read the headlines, and that's all I read. I didn't even read the article. I just read the headlines and knew that Justin Bieber lost his monkey. And then I read the next article, and I find out that Justin Bieber crashed his Ferrari into somebody, you know. And I read the next article and read that Justin Bieber... Oh, did I mention Justin Bieber? You know, so... Well, or I see that, you know, some contestant, an American Idol, just got voted off, or however that works. I could care less about these things, but I can look at the headlines and I can kind of be in the know. At least, you know, these are the things that are really driving the entertainment world right now and what's captivating people across the country. And so I don't need to watch this. I don't need to watch episode after episode of American Idol. I don't need to listen to Justin Bieber. You know, I don't need to consume these things in order to be able to relate to this culture. I want to bring to the table something that a godless world cannot bring, and that is the message of Jesus Christ. That is a life that's filled with the Holy Spirit. A message of hope to a hopeless generation and a generation full of despair and troubled hearts. And being in the know about all these things really isn't going to help. So, you know, when people, I think people maybe make the assumption that Philip, because he speaks about media, must be aware of all that's going on. And that's just not the approach that I've taken. I have had no interest in staying up with the latest, you know, the latest bands or what's going on. I don't have a clue half the time. I'm making my concern my relationship with Jesus Christ, my personal growth, drawing near to Him, praying and knowing that God will draw near to me, becoming in His likeness so that I can better reflect Christ to this culture that's in great need.
Okay, and that kind of ties in with this next question, which is, what if I've already been desensitized by entertainment? Is there anything I can do to change?
That's another really good question, and one that I can give personal testimony to, because I've shared my testimony on this podcast before, but early on in my life, I did consume a lot of toxic media, which was spiritually, morally, emotionally toxic, and my heart, you know, was already corrupt because of sin, but you add this fuel to the fire of this media. And my heart and my mind were truly darkened, and I was desensitized to things that break God's heart. And I needed to be resensitized. And the Bible says that as a part of Christian maturity, it says that solid food, as opposed to milk, you know, milk which is for babies or infants, it says solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. So we need to train our senses to discern between what's right and what's wrong. It just doesn't happen by default. You know, even just, you know, becoming a Christian and beginning to follow the Lord, there's still a need to train our senses to discern between what's right and what's wrong. Now, certainly in that verse when it was first penned was not in regard to media, but I believe it still applies to media and entertainment today. We need to train our senses to discern between good and evil. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world." And that means don't let the world force you into its mold, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so we know that our minds can be transformed, they can be renewed through the Holy Spirit as we take a break from a lot of this garbage in, and we begin to take in what's good and what's healthy, you know, spiritually healthy, to spend more time in God's Word, to spend more time in prayer, to make sure that we're tuning out the things that are distracting us from our relationship with God. And all of these things over time can have a beneficial effect. It's like, I like to use the analogy of light pollution in a city. You know, when you go into an urban area and you look up at night, you won't see any stars. And it's not because there are no stars over the cities. It's because of light pollution. There's so much man-made light that it blocks the view of the stars. But if you get out in the country like where we're at here in rural northwest Illinois, if you get out on a clear night, you look up and you can see all the stars and the constellations, and you see the band of the Milky Way. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous because there's no light pollution. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." So I think that a lot of people are having a hard time seeing God because their hearts are cluttered with a lot of pollution. A lot of pollution from the media. But if you take a break from that, you get away from that for a while, and you get out in the country, so to speak, spiritually, then I believe a lot of that begins to dissipate and we become resensitized. And a lot of people who have gone on media fasts have said, "Wow, that's one of the things that I really noticed when I got done with my media fast. I was more sensitive to the media that I was consuming than I was before. I had more better discernment." And so that's certainly some of the things I would encourage a person if they have been desensitized and want to be resensitized. I've seen this in my own life over the last 25 years, how God has been faithful to restore and resensitize my heart and my mind.
And since you mentioned media fast, I'll skip to this question. What is a media fast exactly?
You know, that's a great question, and people ask that all the time. And I probably make the wrong assumption that when I use the term media fast, that people know what I'm talking about. But it comes from, you know, it's derived from the idea of a food fast. You know, and fasting from food you read about in the Bible, and there's several reasons why people may fast. But for spiritual reasons, it's in order to humble yourself and to seek the Lord. And one of the things that when you go without food, it's not comfortable at all. It's very uncomfortable because your body needs food to live. And this is where the analogy towards media might be a little different, because you actually need food to live. Mm-hmm. So you can only go so long before you will die if you don't have food. And there are other times that people fast from food for health reasons. So maybe because of toxins in their body or what else, you know, there are the health people out there that can tell you all those great reasons why you might want to fast. But when we're talking about a media fast, that same concept of going without media in order to humble yourself and seek God, or to even just detox, you know, you just need that time of detox where you say, I need to take some time and turn on, you know, not watch movies, not be sitting in front of my television every day, turn off the radio, just kind of minimize the noise in my life for a period of time in order to seek the Lord. And that can be a very, very powerful time in people's lives. I did this when I was 17 years old. This what kind of began my journey was just going on a media fast. In Captivated, we interview several people. One of your story is in there too, you know, about going on a media fast and how that had an impact in your life. So essentially, a media fast is taking a break. You know, it's taking a break from the media influences in your life for a period of time.
Now, are there certain types of media that you maybe wouldn't fast from?
You know, yeah, this gets a little tricky, because certainly if you work a job that requires you to be in front of a computer to check your email, or even some people, their job is social networking. You know, that's what you do here, Rhett. You help us out with some of our social networking for Media Talk 101. And so that for those who have requirements at work, that's a whole other situation. You know, when you want to think about a media fast, you can just consider what's my elective time. And so you might, you know, if you're a person who's working IT, I've talked to a lot of IT people, and they wonder, well, what do I do? Because I have to be in front of a computer. Well, certainly at work, you may have to be in front of a computer, but when you get home, do you have to be in front of the computer? So when it's elective, are you able and willing to turn it off? And what I found is a lot of people aren't willing or don't feel like they're able to turn it off even after they get home from work. Media use begets media use, screen time begets screen time. When you foster those habits, even if it's a work environment, a lot of people have a hard time knowing how to wind down and relax or live life out, you know, not in front of a screen. And so that would be a challenge. And I would encourage families to, you know, if basically look at your media habits, and maybe there are things that just aren't a stumbling block, and so it's not a big deal. But if you find areas in your life that are certainly a stumbling block, then you might want to minimize those for a period of time. And then after the media fast, you don't want to then just become a media glutton afterwards. So that's why I always encourage just kind of a good, healthy media diet so that you're not just over-consuming. I think, as I said last week, less is more.
Mm-hmm. I do think we have just enough time for another question here. Is there anything wrong with playing old, clean video games like Pac-Man or Tetris?
Okay. Well, you know, this is a tricky question, you know, because I don't think there's anything wrong morally with playing Tetris. It's hard to make some of these judgment calls. It's really more principles. And I did a whole podcast on my top five concerns about video games. And certainly, you know, playing Tetris, you don't have moral issues. You do have time issues, how we spend our time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that there isn't a place for recreation or times of entertainment. But I would want to encourage individuals and families to really think in a new direction. It's not a new direction, it's an old direction, but it's one we're losing. And that is to make our default recreation in community.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, sitting playing Tetris by yourself, certainly it's not necessarily morally or spiritually harmful. It could be spiritually harmful if you're neglecting other more important things. But better yet, if what's the whole purpose? If the purpose is, well, I want to just be entertained for a little bit, or I want to just wind down, I want to play a game, then grab a deck of cards and go find someone, play it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even I get funny with this too, you know, because they've got Solitaire on, you know, loaded on your computers. And I would prefer, you know, I tell my children this, you know, because they don't have access to video games, but that's one that they could access if they wanted to. And I would prefer them get out a deck of cards and actually just physically handle cards than to do it on a screen.
Mm-hmm.
Because, once again, screen time just begets screen time. There's something so mesmerizing about a screen. And, you know, it was interesting. I was speaking at a conference, and someone asked me about this, about children. They said, well, what if there was a game that you could play on the iPad, or you could play it like a child's, like, puzzle or something? You could do the real puzzle, you know, with physical objects, or you could do it with the iPad. Do you think that there's a difference? And I say, I do believe there's a difference, and I'm not going to give you a scientific answer. I would just say, put the two things in front of, you know, a dozen children and see which one they gravitate towards. They're going to always, it seems like they're going to gravitate towards that screen. There's something so mesmerizing about screens that, but yet I still think fostering, if we're going to kind of burn up some time, you know, even if the little amounts here and there, doing real stuff to me is just, and I'm not going to be legalistic about it. It's just a hunch that I have, mm-hmm. that it's just a better, and certainly if you're listening to this and you think, Philip, you're out to lunch on this one, send me an email, you know, I'd love to hear from you. Once again, I'm not backing this up with scientific things. This is just I'm sensitive to the fact that we've got a culture that doesn't know what to, is increasingly not knowing what to do with itself if it's not in front of a screen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just minimizing that, it just helps. And so with games like Tetris, or, you know, that I think there are like a million silly little games that people can download on their phones. But even that, I think, is fostering something that's not healthy in the long run, even though it just seems like it's not a big deal. But these things, even Tetris and things like that, can become addictive. But I'm not opposed to games. I'm certainly not opposed to puzzles. I would just want to encourage families, especially in children, to gravitate towards real stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have run out of time once again, and we have several other questions, but we may want to save that for a future podcast.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I like this format, and if you like the Q&A, send us an email and say, hey, you know, we like this, we'd like to hear more of this, and we'll be glad to do more. And if you've got a question, be sure to send us your email to podcast@mediatalk101.org, or if you have comments, once again, you can send that to podcast@mediatalk101.org. I do have a file that I keep of just a ton of questions that people have asked over the years, but we'll certainly give priority to those who send us emails through this podcast. So if you have that question, we'll put it right to the top of the list. So once again, you've been listening to the MediaTalk 101 podcast, and we want to encourage you to visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles and videos and other resources that we have there. We mentioned earlier in this podcast that we've got a free download for you of my talk, Analyzing Movies from a Biblical Worldview. So avail yourself of that with the free download code that we've provided. And thank you again for listening.